Turn with me, would you? Matthew chapter 28, just 1 through 7 is our read down this part of the story. Matthew 28, 1 through 7. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, because the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like that of lightning, and his robe was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken from fear of him that they became like dead men. But the angel told the woman, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here." They were in utter disbelief and heavy heartedness. In a few short hours, they would be awakened to the great reality. But we wake up to that reality every day of our lives. We, on this side of the grave, on this side of the resurrection, we can look back to that day, and we can be in awe, and we can look at it with this great respect and admiration and triumph in the fact that Jesus Christ did exactly what he said he was going to do. We stand today in a day of great spiritual freedom and of truth and of grace. Oh, that today that we would hold fast to that glorious truth of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. I'd ask you, what does the resurrection mean to you today? What does this victory that was long years ago, what does this victory mean to us today? Does it shape the way that we live? Does it shape the way you woke up today? Does it shape the way that we come and gather as a people in God's house today? This is what Isaac Watts said of this great day. "This is the day the Lord had made. He calls the hours his own. Let heaven rejoice, let earth be glad, and praise surround the throne. For today he rose and left the dead, and Satan's empire fell. Today the saints his triumph spread, and all his wonders tell. We, the saints of God, we wake up today with a new story to tell. Not one of darkness, not one of depression. We didn't wake up today wondering if Jesus was still in the grave. We woke up knowing the truth of this Jesus. How does it shape us today? How does it shape our church? How does it shape your joy? How does it shape your faithfulness? This is what we are called to today. This resurrection is a great thing for us to recollect upon, but it's a greater thing when it affects who we are as a people. For those who are in Christ this day, this is a great day of victory. Yet for those who resist entrusting yourself to the truth of this day of resurrection, I'll tell you this, the only sadness is that you hold at arm's length the very thing that your soul longs for. For those of us who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. We are in Christ Jesus, renewed and strengthened and given joy. But for those who resist and you hold God at a hand's length away, at an arm's length, it's not that he hasn't resurrected. You may believe it or you may not believe it, but it is the truth. Your belief, my belief, does not make it so. It's truth of God that makes it so. And your disbelief in it does not make it not so. For it is the truth of God that we who are called by his name, we who know him, we know that the truth of his joy and strength. And so we call to you who hold him at arm's length, and we say, will you join us? Join us in this joy, in this triumph. The sadness is not that he hasn't died and resurrected on your behalf. The sadness is that you refuse to take hold of the joy that he has offered you. Make this today your day of victory, as it was his. The psalmist writes, Psalm 22, "My soul, praise the Lord. And all that is within me, praise his holy name. My soul, praise the Lord, and do not forget all of his benefits. We have spent today praising and worshiping this God, this triumphant God over the grave. Do not forget his benefits. You who hold him at arm's length, you have not taken note of the greatness of his benefits. You could not possibly understand them, for some of them are only to be understood by the spiritual mind. Some of them you see from a ways off, from afar. You think they look a little strange, but deep down inside you know that the truth and the joy and the life that is found in God's people, those who are true to his word, that is something you long for. Remember the benefits of our God. Truly the greatest benefit of God was Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer of our souls, once crucified. He took up all of our sins 2 days ago, back on Friday. We gathered here, and we recollected upon that crucifixion and how he took upon himself everything that was evil. That same God, though, that same man, raised up from the dead, praise the Lord, and he is alive and well. And his benefits are not something of the past, but they are present to us. They are real to us. They are within us. They change us. And he is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, preparing a place, like the children were saying up here, preparing a place for us that we too may enter into that rest. Do not forget his benefits. What does this resurrection mean to me? We look at that, and what did you think it meant to those women when the angel says to them, he is not here. He is resurrected just as he says. Don't you remember? He talked about this. He spoke this to your hearts. Do you not remember? But now go. Go and tell the disciples. One of my brothers, great man of God, just mentioned recently about women being the catalyst for this great day. And how he entrusted it to women to take it to the men. Well, we know what the men did. They kind of just couldn't believe it. They didn't know what to do with it. The women knew what to do with it. They went and told. They proclaimed it. They sent it forth. Like Isaac Watts was talking about, we the saints who have the story to tell, they knew what to do with it. Do you know what to do with the great story that has been given to you? Do you live it in a way that proclaims it with your lives? He is not here. He is resurrected just as he said. So what does that mean to us today that he resurrected? How does the resurrection affect our lives? I'm going to give you four things. These are by far not the only four things, but these are the great benefits that I see for my life in the resurrection today. Number one, as we spoke on Friday, the cross and the resurrection declare, attest to the great sovereignty, the great grace, the great wisdom of our God. This resurrection you wouldn't say the end of the story, but it's a major climax in the story. It's a major part of the story. Yes, the cross was one thing, and without the cross, there is no remission of sins, no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews says, there is no forgiveness. So the cross was necessary. But the resurrection, the resurrection does something more for us. In 1 Corinthians, it speaks about the power of the resurrection. And quite honestly, if there was no resurrection, then we gather here today in vain. There is no reason for us to come except that Jesus Christ rose on that day. And it's worthy of our praise. It is worthy of our awe. His resurrection attests to the fact that God put this story together before time existed. Let us not forget that the cross was not One of those moments, God's like, what am I going to do now? I'm going to send my Jesus to the cross to die. No, it was the story from before, the story from eternity. This would happen. And throughout the histories that we see in the Bible, we know that it was declared as such. God's sovereignty is such that he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the resurrection before the sin that entered into the world. The resurrection attests to God's great wisdom, the knowledge of all things. You serve a great God, you who serve this God, this Jesus. Let's not forget that. Remember his great benefits. This resurrection attests to the fact that God is able to save. He's able to save my soul. He's able to save eventually and resurrect my body. In 1 Corinthians 15, 12 and 13. It says this, now if Christ is preached and is raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is without foundation. He has come and he has given to us this hope of a resurrection in our own lives. Not just a being brought, born again, being reborn in his spirit, but a greatness of resurrection in the last days when we will be with him, we will be like him in the clouds, taken away, bodies coming back, resurrected. I believe there's some power to be spoken of in that. In verse 20 and 21 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. We spoke about this a little bit about this on Friday. This could not have been done by a goat or a lamb or a bull. This could not have been done by an imperfect person, but only Jesus. It was essential that it would be Jesus, the Son of God, the man who would take our place. But because he did, the resurrection to newness of life is ours. Praise be to God. What a great benefit that is. Thirdly, the resurrection attests to Jesus' power to resurrect me completely and totally. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? We've sung it a couple different ways here today. It's a poetic way of saying, you have been taken to task, oh, death. You have no power over us anymore. Sin, Satan, hell, you have nothing over us. We live as victorious people in the person of Christ. And the resurrection of Christ attests to Christ's power to do just that in me. To bring my life back, to bring my soul back into rightness with God, and to give me eternal life with him, which begins now. And that's the next and last point, finally, for today. Passing from this life is not the end. In Christ, I have power over the grave. And I have power to live as one victorious over the grave now, today. For me to live as Christ, but to die as gain. Jesus speaks to us in this. Look at John chapter 11. You remember this story? It's a very common story. Many people know. The disciples come to Jesus and they got a word that one of Jesus' deepest, greatest friends, Lazarus, was very sick, perhaps sick unto death. And Jesus lingered, knowing that it was not his time to go He lingered. He stayed where he was. And so the time passed and Lazarus passed. He passed from this life into the next. They buried him in a tomb, and Jesus shows up on the scene. And Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, also dear friends to Jesus himself, they come to him and said, "Lord, why? Why would you not have come earlier? For you could have saved him. We've seen you save others." Look what Jesus says. This is John chapter 11, starting with verse 24. Martha said, "I know that he will rise again, the resurrection, the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this?" That's Jesus' words. But I ask you the same. Do you believe this? It's very easy for us as a body of Christ to sit here for 7 weeks listening to 1 John and have the been there, done that attitude. Not necessarily just about 1 John, about any piece of scripture. Get ourselves into that frame of thought that says, you know, I know all that. Well, let me encourage us as a body. We've never been that far or done that much to get to the end of what this scripture wants to speak to us. Ever, any piece of it. There's always deeper. There's always more of Christ. For us to come and say that we have been there, done that, we get that, that there's nothing new here, is for us to really point a finger back at ourselves. The reality is when we say that, we just don't get it, period. We don't get the fact that Jesus Christ is all that we need, all the sustenance and satisfaction that we need. And so we look at experiences in church and we look at worship services and sermons and we feel as though perhaps we need something different. We need something more. We need more feeding. And the reality is God's saying, "Listen to me. Just listen to me. Because if you can't hear my words when my scripture is being spoken, and if my words don't transform you for the 1,000th time, you're not listening well. Because as many as times as I say it to you, there is something that I desire from you, something deeper, something greater. I want you to be like me," Jesus says. And so like Elijah, standing at that cave entrance, seeing the torrents roll by, see the earthquake and feel the earthquake under his feet, see the roaring fire tear down through the mountain. He doesn't sense God in that. He has to stop and he has to listen. And the still small voice whispers. It whispers. "What are you doing, Elijah? What are you doing here?" he says. "Have you stopped to listen to the still small voice of God in your life? To know the very presence of God in your life? That with every scripture that comes your way, the still small voice is still speaking to us, beckoning us to deeper, to greater, more rich understanding of him." Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anybody who believes in this, even if he were to die in this life, he still will be raised." Praise be to God. I believe that this attests to God's power residing within me. The resurrection today attests to me that Christ in me is the greater glory. That greater is he who lives within me, that abides in me as I abide in him, than he who is in this world. That's what the resurrection means to me today. We have power over sin because of Christ within us. Church, there's something deeper he's calling us to. And his resurrection day today beckons us. Will you believe it? Do you believe it? That's what the angel asks. That's what Jesus asks. Will you believe it? That there is something deeper for you in the very still small voice of God. To those disciples who had watched the crucifixion from a distance, to those women who wept at his feet at the cross, the resurrection of Jesus meant everything. Everything. He was dead, and now he's alive. It was everything. Do we grasp that? It's not some little fairy tale story. They were living it out. They went to the tomb to put stuff on his body. And they were met at the grave by an angel, and then again later on by Jesus himself. And then Jesus comes and meets with the disciples, and he walks among them for 40 days, and a revival of the earth begins on that day. It's changed everything because he was alive. If he was dead and gone, we would not be here today. But he is alive. And he's alive within us if you have received him and called him your own. He gives us the power of the resurrection. He gives us the power over sin. He gives us the power over death. We do not have to bow to those things any longer. The resurrection of Jesus meant everything. And they only knew in those early days a fraction of what they would learn to see in the years to come. Even at that, as little as they knew, all they saw was him alive. They didn't all put it together. All the theology and all the great truths of God did not just come pouring into them all at once. But they learned over years of time and experience with this true living God what this resurrection truly meant. But even at that, in those few hours right there and then, at early morning and all the way through that day, the resurrection still meant everything to them. And they only knew a small bit of what we know today about the resurrection of Christ. What a great God we serve. Our celebration of this resurrection is not merely a victory dance over all of evil. It is a reminder and a challenge that greater is he who lives in me and abides in me and calls me to abide in him. He is alive and he is mighty to save. His victories have become our victories for all who would receive it. For all who would receive it, he has given us a piece of his glory to shine amongst this earth like shining beacons, lights, Paul says, in a dark world. We are victorious in Christ because of the resurrection. This changes everything. For he is alive.